ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Well, this next issue is one that a lot of Australians are trying to get their head around. Currently, 2 out of every 5 families have a child who is refusing to go to school. It's a growing problem where affected students feel so overwhelmed or anxious about school, they stop attending. It's the subject of tonight's Four Corners program, which follows 4 families struggling to get their kids back to school. Last week, the Federal Education Minister, Jason Clare, admitted that more needs to be done to reverse the rise in school refusals, and the Greens have accused the government of putting it into the too hard basket. Anne Hollands is the National Children's Commissioner and joins me now. Commissioner, welcome back to RN Breakfast.
Hello, Sally.
What are the basics here? What do we know about the scale of this problem and why it's going on?
Well, we know that it's a bigger problem than we thought, and for a whole different range of reasons. So it's not just one thing. But we've known for a while, Sally, but I think COVID really has blown this apart. You know, it was predicted during COVID that there would be a long tail effect for children, and this is one of those effects that kids who struggle to feel that they belong at school, they will have complex issues that they're dealing with, like learning problems, cognitive problems, neurodevelopmental disabilities, mental health issues, a whole range of things going on in their lives as well that make it hard for them to connect to school. And of course, in COVID, we sent them home. So after COVID, I think it's been a big mountain to climb for some of those kids to reconnect with the school environment. And I think it's put a lot of stress on many more families who don't know how to deal with this, who really want help. But the fact of it is there's so little help available for these kids with complex needs and their families.
And of course, this is a big issue for the parents as well. And there's a legal aspect to it in many cases. If you're not getting your kid to school and they're not being homeschooled, there are legal ramifications for the parents. It's serious.
It is serious. And unfortunately, we're still back sort of mid last century with this idea that that kids have to fit into the institution of school. And we're not doing enough to really reimagine, is that institution fit for the needs of kids today? And I think there's a lot of indication that that schools, the way they operate, are really only fit for quite a narrow group of kids. And the kids we're talking about this morning are missing out. And that's not to say teachers need to do more. You know, I often get criticised when I talk about schools because no one wants to ask teachers to do more. This is about the operation of the whole school and the way that schools and the health system are not working together to draw on all those taxpayer-funded resources. And we're not redesigning the sort of the coordination between those basic public systems that are meant to be helping kids with complex needs and their families.
We've heard a bit of a debate about that issue of resourcing and inclusion, and some teachers being in the position that with the resources that they have and the 20, 30 odd kids that they've got in the classroom, that there might not be the resources for that child who has difficulties. Sometimes inclusion is easier said than done.
Absolutely. This is not easy, but there is no quick fix. So resourcing is a core factor. These teachers need more training, more support, more hands-on help in the classroom. That's absolutely right. But, you know, down the road, There will be health services. They're probably not resourced well enough either. And the schools need to bring them in, the mental health professionals particularly, the other public service systems that can help the school to deal with difficult behaviours and these complex underlying causes of the difficult behaviours that teachers are having to deal with every day.
And Hollands, just briefly on a different topic, last week several young people were arrested in a counter-terrorism raid after an alleged stabbing at a church in southwestern Sydney. It was alleged that these young people were sharing violent extremist ideology. What do we know? What's the knowledge that we have about the extent of this kind of material and young people in Australia at the moment?
Well, we know it's an emerging and growing problem. These violent ideologies are, you know, kids are being recruited by adult criminal groups online. And again, these are often kids with complex needs, like we've just discussed. They, you know, may have, you know, or neurodevelopmental disabilities or mental health issues. They are often disengaged from school, these kids. They don't have that sense of belonging that, you know, we know is a basic human need, but particularly for children and teenagers. And so, you know, some kids might go out and steal cars. That's a, you know, similar sort of fact. These are same similar factors for all of youth crime, but other kids may end up engaging online, being very isolated in that that activity, and unbeknownst to them, being actively recruited by groups, you know, who want them to become involved in these violent ideologies. We've got a lot of work to do here, Sally. This is a very big issue, and requires much more attention. And by the way, all of the things we've talked about this morning really need to be at the attention of National Cabinet. I know, you know, a lot of these things that happen in childhood have their manifestations later in life, including violence against women. So we need to be making child safety and child wellbeing a national priority.
Anne Hollins, thank you very much.
Thanks.
Anne Hollins is the National Children's Commissioner.
Listen to more great stories that take you beyond the headlines. Ask your smart speaker to play ABC RN.